This episode of the Igniting Soul Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. Now, I'm your host, Mike Dominey. Joining me today is Justin Bartley of Next Door and Window. Justin, it's a pleasure to have you, my friend. I'm so glad you're here and able to share your time and insights with our people today.
Mike, it's great to be here and looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, man, let's jump right into it. So talk to us about Next Door and Window and how that got started for you, where you come from, man. What's your story here?
Okay, well, Next Door and Window, I think the name says it all. We do replacement windows and doors for homeowners. So pretty straightforward business. And, you know, our goal is to really have a different approach, you know, to window and door replacement for homeowners to really improve the customer experience.
All right.
That's really been our goal. Started in 2002. So we're in our 19th year this year.
Wow. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. That's awesome.
So what is your different approach? I know there's a lot of door and window replacement companies out there. What's your unique angle on it?
There is a lot of competition out there. From day one, it was really all about the customer experience. And, you know, if you look at home improvement in general, you would see that it usually ranks in the top 3 to 5 worst industries for customer service, for the customer experience, where you have the most complaints. And from day one, that was always our goal, was how do we do things differently? How do we take care of the customer, make that our primary goal? So some of the things we've done is the sales experience, for example. So much in this industry, customers complain about the sales experience, the one night close, if you've ever heard of that, if you've ever bought windows, customers really don't like the sales process. So that was something we really tried to change from the beginning to make it, you know, really easy, low pressure sales process for the customer. Communication is another area that has really lagged in this industry. You know, you sell a project to the customer, and the customer's never done this before. They never replaced their window. They have no idea what to expect. And oftentimes they don't hear anything for weeks. They're wondering. They start to lose trust. And oftentimes companies are, maybe they're too busy. They just don't communicate with their customer throughout the project because it could take anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks. Today in the COVID area, it could take 25 weeks.
Wow.
So that was another area where we said we're going to really focus on the customer communication throughout the process, hold their hand, you know, communicate regularly every week to make sure that they feel good about where the project's at. Lastly, we decided that we wanted to have a different product in the market. So window replacement, most folks don't really know what the materials are, but, you know, most folks had wood windows, probably homes built all the way through maybe the 80s and 90s when vinyl became popular. So from the beginning, we said we wanted to have a different, better, superior material for windows. And we went out and found a world-class supplier to make a fiberglass window for us. And we've been on board with that since about 2005. And it's a category that's growing rapidly. And we are a leader in the fiberglass window replacement market. So those are just a few examples of kind of that vision we had from the start. We don't want to compete on price. Home improvement is much too difficult to satisfy the customer. So we're going to really create a totally different approach. And so those are some of the ways we've done that.
So good. Some really pivotal landmarks for you as a company and really being able to over deliver in the customer service and in the quality of your product and services. And that really has been what is able to define you as a company. To be able to set those as landmarks of, we're not going to compromise here. We're going to go above and beyond. That's so good, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, create a moat around the company. That's every industry you can do it. And so that's really been, you know, how do we really just have a truly different experience, a different product? And that's really been our main focus.
Love it. So, hey, when did you first decide that you were an entrepreneur? Was this your first company or what's your story like, man? When did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur and where is this in your journey?
Well, interesting fact is I've only had two jobs. I've only worked for two companies in my life.
Oh yeah.
So one, Yep. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I work for my family's garage door replacement company growing up. You know, 10 years old, working in the warehouse, sweeping the parking lot. So that's what I did. I worked at my family's company, and it was a second generation company. So my grandfather started it right after World War II, and we did garage door replacement. I worked at that job throughout my schooling, summer breaks from college. I always thought I was going to be the third generation. I wanted to take that company over, and I really enjoyed home improvement, learned a lot about serving the customer, creating that unique experience. So I kind of knew early on that's what I wanted to do, and I really thought I would do it at the family's garage door company and take it into the third generation. Mm-hmm. So that was always my plan. That's kind of the background of how I got involved with home improvement. As I worked at that company after college for about 7 to 8 years, I realized that, you know, my dad owned it with his two brothers, and I realized that my uncles, my dad's brothers, didn't necessarily have the same vision that I did about taking that company on to the third generation. So I started to realize that maybe, although I loved the industry, that maybe this wasn't the company that was going to take me to the vision that I had. And after some really tough conversations with my family, decided that I wasn't the one who was going to take the company to the next generation. So I made that choice to leave in 2002 to start Next Door and Window, which was a similar industry, but windows and doors was different from garage doors. So I also felt like I wasn't going to compete against my family's company and just start something a little bit different. So that's how Next Door and Window started in 2002.
Fantastic. Hey, so what, were there any times in that process? I know that must've been a really, kind of a tough conversation to be in, to talk to your family. Like, I'm not going to carry on the family business exactly as it's been going. I want to kind of do my own thing a little bit. And have there been times since then where you have faced some difficulties, maybe question your decision? What have been some of the lows and even touch on the highs of since then?
Well, although, you know, I always, my whole life, my blueprint, I always thought I was going to take that business on. And so when I decided to start a new business, it was really when I learned what entrepreneurship was and wow, okay, it was one thing to work and maybe start some new product lines or divisions within a company, but starting the company from scratch, that was, I think, an experience that, you know, when you say being an entrepreneur, that's when I really learned, okay, now I get it, like what this really means when literally everything is on you. And at the end of the day, you have to take care of your team. You have to take care of the customer. And it, you know, it brings a whole new level of understanding of what that means. And I don't think there's any way to fully understand it without starting something from scratch.
Oh yeah. I bet.
And going through all the pain of learning those lessons. So it was definitely very challenging those first, 10 years, with wearing so many hats and not really understanding how, the importance of bringing team members in to help you. So those are probably some of the most difficult times and the most stressful times, those first 10 years working, 80 hours plus, just trying to figure it all out, sometimes on your own.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years, that's a long time. I mean, I think entrepreneurs starting off there, even within the first year, they're like, oh boy, this is tough. And you think, well, 5 years from now, it'll be better. And it might be better, but there's still going to be those obstacles. There's still going to be, it's still a tough time because, I mean, even 3, 5, 7 years, it's still a young company at that point, right? Like, you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to run into obstacles and not feel prepared for them.
Right. And maybe I'm a slow learner, but I think initially I thought that I had to do the jobs. I have to learn this. I have to do this. I have to do the next thing. So when I look back, the most stressful times were those times where I just didn't feel like I had a team around me and I try to do it all on my own. Hmm. So through coaching and through experience, you learn the only way to grow your business and have your keep your sanity is to build a team around you of really, really good people.
Oh, that's good. I was gonna ask you what was that breakthrough there that took you from the struggle of the 10 years to be able to kind of reach a new level as an entrepreneur, a new level as a company. And so it sounds like you're saying that you'd credit that to the recognition that you can't do it all on your own, you shouldn't do it all on your own, and you find the people on a team who can take those things and make them their own based on what they're good at and leave you to be able to do and focus on what you're best at.
Well, well said. And that's always my number one bit of advice that I give folks who are starting a business is that you can't do it on your own. Mm. And, you know, the who, not how concept from Dan Sullivan, as it's known today. But I think the tool that helped me the most, and this is just going back about 6 years ago, was EOS, the mm-hmm. Entrepreneurial Operating System with Gino Wickman. We hired an implementer to help us implement that here at our company. And part of that is the people piece, the people section, where it really helps you to lay out basically like an organizational chart. They call it the accountability chart, but mm-hmm. really all the key people in your business, the key positions that you need to really operate as a real company with a leadership team and a structure. Mm. And my biggest breakthrough through that process was I had, although we do window and door replacement, I ran our marketing department. I was also running our accounting and doing daily accounting and job costing.
Wow. Yeah.
And when I started working with the implementer, you know, the first thing he noticed was you need to bring in an accountant. And I resisted it. And of course I said, nobody can do the job costing like I do it. And I had been doing it literally for 14 years every morning.
Oh man. And, wow.
And it was tough. It was tough to fill that spot. And I hired a temporary accountant, didn't work. So then I even had more doubt, kind of reinforced my feelings that, you know, yeah, that no one else can do this.
Chalk one up for you there.
But I stuck with it, and we found an amazing candidate to bring in as a controller. And it's this person is a CPA. Like, they're 10 times better than I was at doing it. Mm. They like doing it. And it took us to a whole nother level. And it saved me about 5 hours every day out of my wow. schedule of time.
Yeah, that's crazy. 25 hours a week now you get to focus on your, as strategic coach calls it, a unique ability, right? What you are able, the area of your most value. That's huge, man. That's huge. When you find some, I also love what you said about this person was 10 times better than you, right? You know, and did what you did it faster, did it better. And it takes a bit of humility to recognize that there's going to be someone out there who can do things that you do better than you. And, it's so important to find those people, and it leveled you up as a company and as a person to be able to find that person.
Definitely biggest breakthroughs when I look back, and we've done these exercises, you know, in the 10X program with Dan Sullivan, but, you know, looking back at the big breakthroughs, and they were always around bringing in that really key person. Hmm. That's when the business always took that big jump ahead. When we hired our first production manager, our first procurement manager, when we hired our controller, I can go on and on with probably 8 different people that we brought, you know, that key sales person that was able to do an extra $3 million in sales. It always revolves around finding really good people to join your team. And that's what will allow you to really take the next step in growth in your company.
That's good. What's your superpower? Like, what do you feel like you do better than 10 times better than other people?
Well, you know, that I think it changes as you go.
Oh yeah.
But the big one for me at this point is, and we talked about it in the beginning, it's how do we keep upping our game? How do we make the customer experience better? How do we innovate the business? So I think that's the part that drives me the most right now, inspires me, is how do we keep pushing forward with the innovation? How do we, you know, keep bringing new enhancements to the products we offer? How do we improve the communication? How do we improve that customer experience? I think that, you know, that's really what I enjoy doing is just how do we make this industry better as a whole and make more happy customers.
That is a unique gift to be able to take a look at what you've been doing for years with fresh eyes every day, every quarter, you know, and be able to continue to think, all right, how can we improve this? Where are the speed bumps? And be able to recognize, like, okay, how can we improve upon this? I mean, that's not easy, and that's not a given even for CEOs and entrepreneurs. I think sometimes it's easy to get stuck kind of doing what works, what you've been doing. How often, you know, do you hear like, oh, this is the way we've always done it, right? And so it really is a superpower to be able to take fresh eyes to your business that you've built and you love so much, consistently able to level up and notice the strengths and the weaknesses and areas of improvement.
And I don't necessarily have some gift for doing this, but I do have a process. And that would be, well, one is we survey all of our customers. So we want to find out what went well, what didn't go well, you know, where in that whole customer journey, where are those opportunities to improve? So I think that gets you a long way. Listening to your customers, looking for ways to improve the processes that you have. But I also think that's somewhat limiting, right? So I think, you know, to really think outside the box, like how can you even do something for the customer they wouldn't even think about or expect? And maybe they'll that's the hard part about innovation and creativity. And that's why I make it part of my routine, part of my week to read books, go to coaching, you know, learn from people like Carrie and Dan Sullivan, and look at some of those really successful entrepreneurs out there, like Elon Musk, of course, just looking at the huge thinking they have. You know, that's how I learn and how I think of new ideas, because they don't always just come to me. So I rely on a lot of outside sources and coaching, to really help me think, oh, how can I use that? And, you know, that was done in that industry. How can I bring it to this industry? You know, another really good example that I love, which is a really old example, but it's still one that inspires me today, is you know, what Starbucks was able to do with a commodity product like coffee that you can get at any gas station for 99 cents.
Yeah.
But somehow people pay $5 plus for their drinks because of that experience that they create. And that's something that I look at regularly in our business. You know, how can we take what some companies really market as a commodity and how can we really up our game to make the experience so much better that people are able to pay more, and price is not the determining factor for their choice, you know, where they're going to buy their doors and windows. So those are some areas that, you know, inspire me today. That continue to inspire me after 19 years is how do we just keep upping the game, making it better for the customer?
It's a really good distinction. I like what you said about how you do factor in the customer feedback, their response, and really that provides a good baseline. We're like, all right, what are we doing? How can we do it better? What are people looking for? How can we deliver on that? And that's important, but I like how you said that it can't stop there, because right, that's kind of reactionary, right? That's kind of like, oh, we maybe missed a mark here, or, oh, well, we can rise to a standard that they're looking for. And that's kind of reactionary. And so not only do you want to do those things within reason and when you see trends, but also take it that step beyond, like you said, think out of the box, innovate, over-deliver, wow the customers. And the way you do that, the way you fill up, you're saying, is you look for inspiration among other leaders, other organizations. What are they doing? What's successful for them? How can we adapt that with our business and our customer base? And that really ends up being a cycle of growth where you get to raise your own standard, right? Raise your own bar, and the customers are, oh, wow, that's great. And then they continue to get that feedback, keep innovating. That's such a good habit that you found yourself in, man. That's really cool.
Well, I was very, very fortunate to find the strategic coach and surround myself with great entrepreneurs who have, you know, all these different businesses and different industries. And again, being able to connect with them every quarter, that's really where so many of these ideas come from. And then, you know, that's where I met Carrie as well in my group there. So that's just a resource that I would recommend to everybody. Get in a mastermind group or a coaching group. And it's really worth the time and investment.
That's so good. It's been a trend. It's been a theme here with this Ignited Entrepreneur series and amazing guests like you with their companies and stuff. It's a common trend that EOS gets brought up, that strategic coach gets brought up, because there's so many entrepreneurs in those networks who find such value for in the community and in the accountability and in the coaching. And this is, you know, this podcast series is not an ad for those two companies. It's really just a testament to the fact that there are so many companies and entrepreneurs that benefit from that community and coaching. And if not those programs, then, you know, maybe others. But the big takeaway is the importance of not trying this on your own, right? You tried that. But then as soon as you found some coaching, found some teammates, it just blew you up. I think that's the difference between a six-figure company and a seven and eight-figure company is a bunch of input from other networks and collaborators like that to really level you up.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, another area of inspiration for me is, you know, and again, as you go through the journey, it does change sometimes kind of what keeps you motivated, right, and inspired to continue to go into work after 19 years. And so that other really important area today, especially with the tight labor market and the difficulty of finding help, and we talked about the importance of building your team, it's just really having a culture of, you know, people development. So that's another area that I think over these past 4 or 5 years or more, where a big focus of mine has been, you know, how do we make it a really great place to work? How do we inspire our team and give them the resources to grow personally and professionally? So that's where I think I spend about half of my energy when I'm not trying to create new innovations and new processes. You know, how do we continue to develop our people and make sure that we offer a place where they feel that they can grow personally and professionally? And I get the luxury of being in these coaching groups and being around all these great people. And we want to try to create that same environment for all of our people here at the company as well. So that's another really important area, I think, that maybe we overlook, but in times like we have now, where finding really good people is so difficult. And money is important, but I would argue that it's equally or more important to have an environment of growth and learning and development for personal and professional goals for your people. So that's a structure that we have set up. Again, EOS really helped us with that, with a tool they call, you know, their 555, which is a quarterly conversation where you have a one-on-one meeting with your team members. You know, if you're a manager, all of your team, you meet with them regularly and you talk about their goals, you know, professionally and personally. So that's something that's been a big focus for us that I think is so critical, especially today and going forward. Like, your team needs to hear from you every quarter. You know, you need to have a conversation, make sure you're aligned on the same page, and make sure you're providing all the tools that your team members need to develop, you know, personally and professionally. I think is important, you know, to look at just other ways that you can help your team. Maybe it's through, maybe they need financial education, or they need, you know, information about how they can become more fit, or nutrition. You know, we have a lot of that here, fitness goals. There's so many things that are important to your people. So that's another big area of focus for us right now is, how can we provide more training to our team and maybe some areas that you wouldn't think about, you know, not only related just to their job they're doing.
I love it. You're clearly prioritizing not just your customers and clients and really trying to make the best experience for them in your industry, but also looking to optimize the experience for your very own workers, right? Because that's where the value of your company is in your people. And when you find ways to go above and beyond their expectations of what they look for in a company and be able to really augment their experience with so many good value adds like that, I think, man, you've got a great company that's going to be able to just continue to grow year after year. And that's clear looking at hearing from you and looking at your company, man. It seems like you've got those core priorities in a good spot. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we've been very fortunate to be in a really wonderful industry in home improvement that's seen tremendous growth since COVID, you know, with people staying at home. We are an industry that really benefited from that, and we've seen tremendous growth this past year. But, you know, you just can't make progress without really awesome people on your team. So, you know, that's why we're really trying to up our game with how do we make it really great for people to work, you know, in our company. And we think that's through growth. That's what we look for when we hire people. And once they come on board, we have to make sure we have an environment that fosters that.
So good, man. Hey, we're toward the end of our conversation already. It's gone by fast. I've loved it. I'd love to ask you one question.